The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Good morning, and glad to have you along this morning. It's Friday, January 10th, and feeling a little cold out there this morning, but I do hear we're getting a little bit of a warm-up over the weekend. That should be kind of a nice thing. We have a great show here this morning, very important show. We have Haley Graham and Brian Burkle, both from Berkshire County Kids Place, and we're going to be talking about a very, very important topic today, that of internet safety for kids and all of the various issues that surround that. We're going to dig deep into that and talk about how you and your family can be safe, your kids can be safe, and how we can get this very important information out to folks in the community. So talking about that in just a moment. First, let's go to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us over the next 36 hours or so from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Cold with highs in the upper 20s. Northwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Diminishing to 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of snow showers after midnight. Cold with lows around 17. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming east after midnight. Chance of snow 40%. Saturday, cloudy. A chance of snow showers in the morning. Cold with highs in the upper 20s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming northwest in the afternoon. Chance of snow 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought I had heard the 30 digit somewhere in there, but I guess I didn't. I thought we were going to get that over the weekend. Maybe we will still, but you know when we start talking about it warming up to 30, that we're definitely in the middle of winter. But we can take it. And again, hearts out to the folks in California right now. There are bigger issues than it being a little cold around the Berkshires. And you think about what's happening in the Pacific Palisades right now. It's a pretty tough time for those folks. So definitely our hearts and thoughts go out to all the folks in California. All right. Well, let's open up the show here. Good morning to both of you, Brian Burkle and Haley Graham from Berkshire County Kids Place. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about a kind of a heavy but a very important issue here this morning, internet safety for kids and some of the things that are that you need to know as a parent, guardian, an adult in the community, things that are happening, going on, and ways that we can help the situation. So, but before we get into that, for both of you, maybe we could just give an overview for our listeners about what Berkshire County Kids Place is, what their mission is, what they do, a little bit of the history of the organization. Who'd like to start with that?
Yeah, so the Berkshire County Kids Place, we started in the 90s. We are one of six children advocacy centers in the state of Massachusetts. One of the big functions that we do at the Berkshire County Kids Place is we actually offer clinical services for children who have experienced violence in their lives. So we are always accepting referrals from different agencies. If anybody knows of a child who could benefit from therapeutic services, definitely give us a call. We also offer something called PSBCBT, which is problematic sexual behavior therapy,
okay,
which is for children up to the age of 14 who are exhibiting signs of problematic sexual behaviors. We actually offer that as well. But always accepting referrals. Definitely give us a call if you think that a child may benefit from services with us.
Yeah, and in addition to that, historically with the Berkshire County Kids Place, it was established about 30 years ago by Tim Shugrue, attorney, then attorney, now district attorney.
Yeah.
So it's kind of come full circle because the district attorney's office has always had a very strong relationship with the Kids Place. And the reason being is that one of the functions of the Kids Place, working with the DA's office, is to have this thing called a MDT, Multidisciplinary Task Force.
Okay.
So when an incident comes into focus where a child has been abused sexually or physically or anything else to that in that line, the MDT is convened, and that involves law enforcement, mental health services, social services, DCF, and the Kids Place. And the purpose of this is so that all these stakeholders or people who are there to help this kid and this family can get together, share the resources, discuss what needs and what the next steps are, but also for the sake of the child, we will minimize the impact as far as how often that child has to tell their story.
Mm.
So one of the functions that we'll do is we'll also provide, and the Kids Place has the facilities to do this, is provide an area for a forensic interview.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that becomes the interview. So we have specially trained forensic child interviewers, and those interviews are observed and monitored by all those other team members.
Mm. And so basically the idea there is you don't want to have to put a child through multiple different interviews, going to see, you know, the police, then going to see a psychologist or whatever, you know, all these different, and having to repeat the story over and over and over once to tell it is, I'm sure, enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because we don't want to re-traumatize it. Try to minimize that.
Yeah. And I think about it, too, and I say that Berkshire County Kids Place has really only been around for a few decades.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine at this point in our society not having a facility and an organization like this that provides the support to the kids. Like, if you didn't have it, where would they be going? What would how would the issues being presented be handled? I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, we are a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
We're one of the only CACs in the state that are a nonprofit. Others are differently funded.
And CAC again is
Child Advocacy Center.
Okay,
thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. No, thanks for asking me to clarify that. And we work under the umbrella of Hillcrest Educational Centers here in Berkshire County.
Okay. So laying that foundation and knowing that there is support for children that have been, are being abused in terrible situations. And again, you know, putting this out to our listeners, this is happening here in Berkshire County. So a lot of times we think about it, we look at the news or whatever, and we say that's something that's happening somewhere else. That's not the case, right? These things happen here in Berkshire County on a fairly regular basis. Is that fair to say?
It is.
Yeah. Very fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very much an issue here.
Okay.
As anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not immune to it, for sure.
Correct.
So and specifically what we're going to talk about this morning is issues around internet safety, right?
Yes, right.
And specifically things like we're going to talk about sexting, sextortion. That's a new word. I had not heard that term until this morning. Cyberbullying.
Mm-hmm.
So let's lay the groundwork for that. Why is it that our kids are more susceptible, more vulnerable to this now than maybe a generation or two ago, when some of our listeners grew up and they knew what the sort of the situation was for kids and for adults at that time? Have things radically changed, or are there still some sort of themes and things that are the same from, you know, 30, 50 years ago?
So I'd say the basic themes haven't changed.
Hmm.
It's just the way that things are happening. So, like, for example, I'll say this, that I saw a quote from someone who was a known perpetrator, predator, and their quote was basically that the internet has made things a lot easier for them.
Mm.
They don't need to go out and drive the neighborhoods and look for vulnerabilities.
Mm.
They can just cast a large net and see what happens.
Mm. So that's the big change. And I think everybody understands that,
yeah,
right? That the internet has changed everything in our lives, and of course it's going to change something like this as well.
Right. And the important thing that we want to get across is that we're not vilifying the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We're not vilifying apps in general.
Yeah.
You know, apps, there's so many benefits to the internet. I mean,
sure,
the amount of communication we have, the things that we can learn, the kids, they learn a lot. If they're using Google, they're using it for school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God we had it during the pandemic. I mean, what would we have done without the internet during the pandemic?
Right.
You know, I saw a thing that almost 50% of marriages over the past decade or so, or maybe a little less than that, resulted from relationships that started online.
I think I saw a chart like that too. Okay. It was really amazing, wasn't it? Over time, how you meet your eventual spouse.
This is our life. We're not getting away from it, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't. And the flip side of that too is that we can't arrest our way out of these instances where people are being exploited. Mm. So what we need to do is have more education and more conversations about how to be preventative. And so that's one of the other arm of what Haley and I do is the outreach to the community mm-hmm. and education. So we're looking for ways to have those conversations. We have begun to reach out to the schools. We've been invited to a couple schools. Right now, currently, we're focusing on middle school age. There are programs for high school and younger, mm-hmm. but just out of capacity for the time being, we're focusing on the middle school age group.
Mm. And why is that? Why did you pick that as the sort of first thing to focus on?
Just that age group is highly vulnerable. Mm. They're about to get into much more freedom mm-hmm. than they already have. They're at that age where they're very curious. Sexually mm-hmm. and in other maturing ways. Mm. There's also
also don't have all the experience that the older generations might have, right?
Right, right.
They haven't seen things yet.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So they're highly vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Now that being said, and we'll get into this about what we actually recommend to parents is just conversation. But the conversations with kids really should start much earlier, because when we do get in, we're talking to seventh and eighth graders. Not that we didn't know this before we get in, but they are already very sophisticated.
I was
going to
say
and experienced.
I know some seventh and eighth graders are pretty wise,
yes.
Right?
And when we talk about some of the harder things that we try to warn them about and make them aware of, we preface it with, if you've had this experience, you may know what I'm talking about, or mm. some of you may have had these experiences already. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we encourage them to talk to somebody about that afterwards. But so what we're trying to do is get into the schools for that age bracket. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, what's a very important component to that is that we have to have a parent conversation as well. Mm. Because the big part of what we teach the kids or talk to the kids about is that when these things happen to them online, they need to not be alone in this the struggle. They need to have an adult that they can go to. And if that parent is that trusted adult for that person, then that kid goes, we've told them that, then they go and they tell their parents, and their parents say, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Or they react in a way that we wouldn't recommend, so it's going to have negative effects mm-hmm. on the kids, and you don't want to shut down that communication. That's ultimately the important thing. So we always need to have a parent conversation.
Well, I would think it's also about,
as we can.
It's about training like anything else, mm-hmm. right? And being a parent is one of those things where you go in and you don't exactly, get a lot of training.
Yeah.
you have kids and you learn it as you go along. A lot of times you take your own experiences and your own family wisdom and things, but there's a lot of things that, don't come along naturally. And this is definitely, it sounds to me mm-hmm. like one of those things. And before I get too far down the road, and we're talking with folks today, if you're just joining us from Berkshire County Kids Place, and this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, we have Haley Graham. And Haley, your title is Family Advocate. So maybe explain a little bit about what that particular job category does and the kinds of things that you do on a daily basis as a family advocate.
Yeah, definitely. So one of the biggest things that I do is I'm actually usually the point person. So if somebody is calling in and they are making a referral into the kids' place, when you get that call back, it's going to be me on the other side of the phone.
Okay.
And I kind of do the screening to see if kids would actually be a really good fit for our services. Mm. One of the big things that we like to tell our families is just because a child has had a traumatic experience does not mean that they are going to show trauma symptoms.
Okay.
Children are actually pretty resilient. So some kids definitely need the extra services and they need the extra help and they need that support, but it's not always the case. Hmm. Sometimes kids are a little bit more resilient than we think that they're going to be.
It's your job to sort of pick up on that and say, there might be something more here. I'm hearing something that I want to find out more about because I think there's something greater there than you're telling me, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And just because kids aren't a fit for our services doesn't mean that they wouldn't benefit from therapeutic services. It mm-hmm. just means that they might not fit our specific therapy model, which is focused for kids who have experienced trauma.
Okay.
So that's one of the big things that I do. And then on the flip side of that, once kids do become clients of ours over at the kids' place, I take the time to really get to know each family, see their strengths, see what may be missing, and see how we can better support them. make any referrals we have to other agencies in the community, mm-hmm. and really just build that bond with them and make sure that they get everything that they need.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. And it helps me understand a little more. And Brian, your role there, I'm going to read this off because it doesn't fall off the tongue very easily. CSEC coordinator. So expand that for us. What does that do?
Yeah, so we call it CSEC for short.
Okay.
But it's what that stands for is commercial sexual exploitation of children.
Okay.
So examples of that would be a youth who is pressured into prostitution. Mm. And quite frankly, we consider anybody under 18 not a consenting member or not someone who's consenting to prostitution,
yeah. Yeah.
Regardless how it looks or sounds. So we treat them as a victim, the system does. So that's one extreme. But exploitation can come in other ways. And by the way, that is a very real thing.
Yeah.
That definitely happens. It happens here in Berkshire County. Mm. And it's not always stranger danger stuff. Sad to say, can often come from familial relations. People that you think are trustworthy can come from within the home.
Mm.
For a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
And so we need to be mindful of that. And so if you think there's some a lot of information available about CSEC. If you ever suspect that somebody might be at risk for that or may be engaged in that, the most important thing is report it.
Mm.
Report it to the police, report it to DCF. You can file a 51A if you have a genuine concern for somebody.
And what's a 51A?
So a 51A is that report to the DCF, the Department of Children and Families,
okay.
letting them know that you have concern for the well-being of a child. Mm. And those reports are anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
So if you even just have a question, you have that gut feeling that maybe something's right, wrong, and maybe you're wrong, mm-hmm. but that's okay. If you feel like there's something going on here, we recommend that you still report it because let the authorities vet that mm-hmm. and try to figure out what's going on. So so it is a very real thing. And in fact, tomorrow is National Human Trafficking Awareness Day, and their color is blue. You happen to be wearing blue today.
I do happen to be wearing blue.
Yeah, so Haley and I chose to wear blue today. Our whole team is hopefully wearing blue today. If you have something in your wardrobe.
I didn't get the memo, but it worked out anyway.
Right, right. Yeah. It's the weather just making you feel blue, right? So it is a very real thing. And, if you have some concerns, look up some information about what those signs are, and there are avenues, report it. If you see something, say something. Let's go to that, right?
Yeah.
But another, a more recognizable way of being exploited is something we call sextortion.
Mm-hmm.
And this is definitely happening here in Berkshire County because it happens to kids all over the place. When kids are online, they're talking to the whole world. And so I'll give you an example with sextortion. All right, so we think about extortion, right? That's blackmail, right? So sextortion is just a little play on words. It's being blackmailed over sexual
content
materials.
Of some kind,
mm-hmm. So what happens is a regular scenario is this for kids. And I'll say this, what I'm going to explain right now is mostly happening to teenage boys.
Really?
More so than girls.
Interesting.
So here's a scenario. They get a text or an email or some kind of communication, electronic communication from somebody they don't know, but there's enough information there that they've maybe pulled or just kind of made up enough to draw you in to think, maybe I know this person or how do I know this person?
And yeah, if it's a complete stranger, maybe they've just scraped it off the internet, maybe off of social media,
right. They may know where you go to school. They may have enough to say, hey, listen, I know you go to Pittsfield High School or Wakona High School. Just because of something they randomly pulled off the internet.
Yeah.
And it's enough for a kid to go, oh, maybe this is somebody. And it's usually somebody who's coming across as being interested in them in a relationship in some way. Hmm. So kids, teenagers were exploring all that, right? We were all 14 and 15, 16 and 12 for that matter, right?
The difference is all we had was telephones.
Yeah, thank God.
And a lot of times it wasn't even a telephone in our own room.
Yeah, right. Thank God, right? But that's just it. It's a different perspective now.
Yeah.
So what happens is they'll get this communication and they'll have a conversation with this person. Now sometimes it's somebody who they may know, and sometimes it's somebody they have no idea, and it could be somebody overseas. It could be literally a criminal operation.
Yeah.
where they don't care who you are. You're just a number. You're literally just a number. So what happens
is the ultimate target is money is where we're headed.
Money
here, right?
Or further sexual material.
Okay.
So what they'll do is they'll have this communication. Next thing you know is, hey, listen, I'll show you mine. You show me yours. Mm. You know, I like you. Let's build on this relationship. Mm-hmm. They go, okay. They get a picture, and it's probably just some stock photo of somebody else, in this case, maybe a girl. So now the boy feels, okay, I want to respond in kind. I got to do it. She sent me a picture. They take a picture of themselves, a nude photo of some sort, and then next communication is, aha, I got you. I'm not her. Now you owe me $500. Otherwise, I'm going to share this with everybody you know. And you know they'll usually ask for gift cards, which has scam written all over it. Right? Any kind of payment and gift cards is always going to be a scam.
And we hear about scams similar to that, even with other vulnerable populations, which we can talk about. We hear about a lot of senior scams and things all involve gift cards.
Same playbook. Same playbook. But the kid now is in this position where they're trying to get this because they're terrified that all this information is going to get out. Because they had those conversations maybe with adults and their parents, and they were told, don't ever do this, and now they've done it. So they're embarrassed, they're terrified, they don't want to disappoint anybody, they don't want anybody to see these pictures. So what happens is they get caught in this terrible cycle where now, if they pay that money, that's not going to put an end to it. They'll up for the next payment, and the next payment, and the next payment. Or there's also the sexual motivation, where they've got the first picture, and now they'll ask for another. Now they'll ask for another, or they'll ask for something in a video, and they'll always up the ante to the point where it's getting more and more and more humiliating and embarrassing for that for that youth. So they're getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and that's what's so important about being there to hear the kids when they come to you. And we need to make sure that the kids, when they make that mistake, okay, because we can tell them all day long, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, but we need to, as parents, say, but when you do, or if you do, you need to do this. You need to come to me. We need to have these conversations. I need to help get you out of that situation because it's just going to get worse and worse. And you know, we have some advice on what to do if you're in that situation too, that we can share. So that is exploitation because somebody else is getting something at your expense, at that youth's expense.
Yeah,
and they're putting them in fear. And then actually, you know, having that happen at home, these sextortion type situations, you know, it's abuse. And sometimes those kids don't get the same attention because they weren't quote unquote touched. Right. But, this is happening in their own home repeatedly with no end in sight.
And the impact
is incredible.
I was going to say all the ramifications of that in a daily life, right? If this is going on and this is hanging, it's a cloud that's hanging over this kid and maybe this family, what else sort of falls down? You think about everything, all school performance and athletics and friendships and everything else, right? You, Haley, you must see this also, right? With when something like that comes into a kid's place.
Yeah, kids feel backed into a corner. They're scared. They don't know what to do. And their first instinct is, my life is over. I'm never going to recover from this. I'm going to lose all my friends. I'm going to lose my family. I'm never going to get into college. And that's not the mindset that we want these kids to be having.
And that could lead to a few other really bad choices, decisions on the part of kids, which we've seen, right? Some suicidal tendencies where they think, like you said, life is over. I can't ever recover from this, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And in 2022, there were at least a dozen incidences of suicide by youth that were attributed to this being a factor. And again, you know, with suicide, is never one thing. But this was a big push when they're already struggling with other issues. So it was a huge contributor. So that was at least a dozen just in that year that they were able to link to
so,
that.
So tell us how parents can get some information on how to work through this, right? Because it doesn't just start at the moment where there's a problem, because by then, you're really sort of, you're in emergency mode at that point. But there are steps you can take well before that in order to get this information to your kids and to protect your family, right? How does that, what would you recommend?
So the real basic thing is, the first thing when we talk to the parents, right, or we talk to anybody about this, is that we say don't get wrapped up in knowing all of the ins and outs of every app and every technology that's out there, because we can't possibly keep up with that. Right? That's been sort of the fallback, like, oh, well, just make sure you monitor what your kid is doing. Yes, do that. But don't get so hung up that that's the only thing. And what happens is too is that a lot of parents, myself included, back off on that because we just can't digest that. We can't keep up, right? Even when you start to learn an app, they change the procedures or something, right? Or the buttons get moved around
on
the
maddening.
Screen. Yeah. So, but the kids are far advanced on that. So the important thing is when you start to have the conversations with the kids, don't pretend that you know more than they do on that, because likely it's not true, and they know that. So you're going to lose credibility in the rest of the conversation, right? So what it comes down to is this: don't get hung up on the technology aspect of it. Kind of focus on just the relationship. Right? And it's not going to be a one and done thing. This is about building, and this goes for so many things. You can apply this in so many ways. There's so many benefits that are going to come out of this. But when it comes to internet safety and keeping kids safe in general, the basic thing is just ongoing conversations about, you know, about tough topics like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that.
And
so
what's the age do you think that parents should start talking to their kids about some of these things? And it can be difficult to talk about sexual topics for very young children, and that's been a controversial topic across the country in a lot of ways.
Right.
So is there a specific age that's good? Does it depend on the family? Does it depend on the student, on the child? How do you gauge it?
So we make sure we're very clear to people that we're not telling people how to parent, okay? Because everybody, what you do in your home is what you've decided is right for you. Mm-hmm. But we want to at least give people some tools and some understanding of some things that maybe they haven't talked about before so that they can make those decisions as to what's right for them. So it is a personal choice, but my recommendation is to start early and often.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have conversations with kids when they're first getting online, you know, as toddlers. You can talking about being responsible on there and what you share with people, right? And in just general terms, when you start to get a little bit older and you want to talk about some of the more dangerous things that can happen, the big thing is to talk to them on their level. So if there's a topic you want to talk about, whether it's about internet safety or suicide, depression, or anything about sex or anything like that, have that conversation, but kind of see what are their words, what is their language, what's their understanding now, what's their baseline, and build off of that. So you can have it at any age. It's how you frame it.
And is it fair to say also that there are a lot of people that will just say, well, you know, we're giving these kids online access too early in their life. We're giving them these smartphones. They shouldn't have them. And there's some other good arguments about that, too, about sort of the fatigue, you know, and the you know, how it changes their brain and their thought processes and stuff if they have access to smartphones too early and social media and things like that. These are all, you know, new things to our society and relatively new, 15 something years, right? But just saying, well, we just won't let them access the internet, or we just won't give them a cell phone or something like that, is that an answer?
No.
Okay, and why?
They will find the internet. If it's not their phone, it's their friend's phone, or it's a, you know, device that maybe they got at school. That the school thinks they blocked every website, and there's something that we're not seeing. Maybe they're, you know, going over to somebody else's house, or, you know, and with sex trafficking and whatnot, we do see sometimes perpetrators will actually buy their victims' phones so that they can keep constant communication with them. And that's often a device that the parents know nothing about, which is the opposite of what you want to happen. So, and that's not all every case. You know, there will be kids that if they don't have access to the internet, they're not going to go on the internet. But you got to be prepared for every scenario. You never know what's going to happen in today's world.
Yeah. So actually having that talk, as Brian just mentioned, and training and knowing what to talk about is crucially important along those lines, because no matter, even if you try to block the access to it, you need them to have the building blocks, the foundations for how to deal with this stuff, right? When and if it happens.
Right. Yeah. And you got to be prepared for the conversation.
Because
again, if you're not there to receive what they want to share with you, it's not going to happen the second time. So, there's ways that you can have these conversations. Like I'll tell you, I've learned this recently, and it kind of brought me back to an incident in my own youth, that sometimes it's easier just to have the conversation side by side, like when you're walking or in a car, right? So you're not making the eye contact, right? So sometimes it's easier for kids to talk about some embarrassing thing without having to sit right across like you and I are right now face to face.
Right.
And I actually remember when I heard that, I'm like, I remember when I was 10 years old, I had heard something on some movie on HBO that I probably should have been watching, but I snuck down in the middle of the night, watched it, right? And I didn't know what it meant. So I remember being on Merrill Road in the car with my mother, and we're just driving forward, and I asked her what such and such meant. Mm-hmm. And we had that conversation. But when I heard that that's a way to have those conversations, I thought, I remember that moment where I felt more comfortable because we're not face-to-face. We're not at the dinner table, you know. So you can find different ways. You know your kids.
Well, the car is one of those things.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people realize that you got them sort of trapped.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go, right? And you kind of can have conversations like that you can't have other places where there's a way to escape.
Right.
Where there's a way to get out and be concentrating on something else. Very, very interesting strategy.
And it doesn't have to, you don't have to get the answer right then and there. At least if you can start to have a conversation, if it doesn't go anywhere, try again at some other time that you think is appropriate. Just keep trying.
Keep trying.
But the point is that you keep doing that, keep knocking on that door, and then at some point, hopefully, it'll open.
Right. We have Brian Burkle and Haley Graham here from Berkshire County Kids Place, and we're talking about internet safety for kids. Some tough topics, but very important to get the information out. We're going to be in the second half talking about how you can request training for students and adults from the Kids Place to get this information out. We're going to talk about some specific apps and sites and things like that. I suspect your answer to that is going to be there isn't one specific site or app that's bad, but there's a lot of things that you have to watch out for. So let's talk about that in the second half of the show. First, let's get to that top of the hour break that we always take here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and also on 88.1 in Lee. Welcome to our folks down in South County. We'll be right back after this short break. Stick around.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Tim's Lawn Care. It's almost time for fall cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care also could take care of your landscaping and fall lawn care needs. Also, ask about commercial and residential snow plowing for the winter. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222, and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
The Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention recognizes that everyone has a role at saving lives. Through ongoing discussion and education, we may be able to recognize the warning signs and understand how to confidently address the subject of suicide in order to save lives. It takes just one person to offer hope and save a life. Contact the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention at berkshirecoalition.org for more information.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hey, this is Dave Cachet, the archivist of the WTBR-FM Vinyl Library. Tune in Saturday mornings at 9 for Random Draw, a trip through the vinyl archives of WTBR. I'll take you back in time to when these records were brand new. Each week, I'm going to pick a random spot in the vast record library of WTBR and pull out a bunch of great vinyl to play for you. That's right, an hour's worth of random songs with that rich vinyl sound, just the way you remember them. That's Random Draw, every Saturday morning at 9, only on WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Yes, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and also our neighbors on 88.1 in Lee. Thank you for joining us today. We have Brian Burkle and Haley Graham from Berkshire County Kids Place talking about internet safety and many of the dangers that are out there and what we can do to help avoid that and deal with it when it happens. It is happening here in Berkshire County. We want to get that information out to a wider audience and let people know that, you know, there are things you can do, and that's what we're doing today. Let's go to the weather forecast real quick before we get back to that conversation and find out what the National Weather Service has in store for us today.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Cold with highs in the upper 20s. Northwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Diminishing to 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of snow showers after midnight. Cold with lows around 17. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming east after midnight. Chance of snow 40%. Saturday, cloudy. A chance of snow showers in the morning. Cold with highs in the upper 20s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming northwest in the afternoon. Chance of snow 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
A little bit of snow there, but we missed the big snowstorm coming through the sort of central part of the country. It looks like missing us south over this weekend, and that's kind of a good thing. Unless you're a skier, you want to get a big dump of snow out there. I understand that. There's nothing like that, fresh powder out there for our skiers. So maybe next time. We're a little short on snow for the season so far. We'll see how that plays out for the rest of the year. All right, back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, and Brian Burkle and Haley Graham from Berkshire County Kids Place joining us. Haley is the family advocate, and Brian is the CSEC coordinator, and I'll say that right now, it's the Commercial Sexual Exploitation of Children coordinator, right? So that's what we're talking about here today. So thanks again for joining us, both of you. And we kind of left off with how can we get this information out to both young folks and to the adults who need to know how this is all playing out and that it is happening here locally, and when and if it does happen, how do we deal with it?
Yeah,
how do we deal with it, Brian?
How do we? Well, like I said previously, the thing is, when it comes to the sexual exploitation and the abuse that's happening with kids online and the trouble that they're getting into online, We can't look at this as just like, hey, we'll just find the perp and we'll arrest them and that'll be it. We can't arrest our way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be proactive, and that comes through education, through conversations with parents and with kids. And ultimately, where it's going to be is, you know, the parents have to have some vigilance over what the kids are doing. They need to be asking questions, and that really comes down to conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And that is ultimately the answer. You know, it's a fallback mm-hmm. for a lot of things, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's about communicating. So talking with your kids often, and early, about really tough subjects, you know. If you do it in a where it's not tough and it's not a crisis at the time, then if things do become bad, at least then you've got that relationship with your kid that, where they know that they can come to you,
mm-hmm.
and you can be that trusted adult that they need.
So you also mentioned that you'd be willing to get training together for small groups of people. Mm-hmm. How does that play out, and who would you like to have those conversations with, Haley?
Yeah. Yeah, so currently we're looking to get into a lot of the schools around here. I think it's super important. We're focusing on that middle school age,
mm-hmm.
6th, 7th, 8th grade, which really we should be talking to the younger kids, because mm-hmm. by the time they're at that age, they're already knee-deep into a lot of the things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
But we are doing that. We're trying to offer more parent groups where we're getting this information out to parents, because it's important to know that, you know, if or when your kid does come to you with this, that you know what to do and you know what they're talking about, and you can actually help. So if anyone's interested in getting these trainings, getting these resources, definitely connect with Brian or I over at the Kids Place, or you can connect right over at the district attorney's office if you give them a call and talk to the child abuse unit over mm-hmm. there.
And just give us some contact information, if you would, for Berkshire County Kid Place. If someone is interested in arranging that with you, what's the best way to contact you?
Yeah, the best way to contact us is you can go onto our website and actually submit a message right through our website, or, of course, you can give us a call.
And what's that website?
The website, do you know the name off the top of your head?
No.
Our website, kidsplaceonline.org.
Okay,
that
there
sounds
you go.
Right.
Is that right?
Okay.
Thank you, yes, thank you.
Yeah. Or, of course, giving us a phone call. Our main line is 413-499-2800. So if you give us a call at that number, and again, it's Haley Graham and Brian Burkle. Connect with either one of us, and we can definitely talk to you more about getting into, you know, the school, the organization mm-hmm. that you're running. We're pretty much willing to go anywhere.
Yeah, and it seems to me like I remember as my kids were growing up that parents and parents groups were much more involved mm-hmm. with their kids in the early years, right? When they're first getting into school, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, those elementary school, that's where we made a lot of bonds with other mm-hmm. parents and other families, right? When we used to have shared experiences with our kids going to school for the first time. And then as you get to middle school, you know, the parents kind of pull back a little bit more. They let their kids, you know, be a little bit more independent. They don't have as many connections with other parents. So maybe in those early years, that's the time, you know, that those parents groups, if they're listening today, mm-hmm. To maybe arrange for their group to have that conversation with Kids Place. That seems to be kind of a prime target, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So where we may not at this time be going into the schools for that age group, mm-hmm. we definitely should be talking to the parents mm-hmm. of those age groups mm-hmm. because they, you know, that way they have some tools and some advice as to how to navigate, how to have those conversations, again, early and often with the kids, starting at a younger age, using appropriate language that works for them. And then so that by the time that they are in middle school and we see them in middle school, that hopefully they've already got some information. And one of the things that we do when we go into the schools is we have a pre and post survey. And I'll let Haley explain a little bit about the results that we had off of that, which was telling.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear that.
Yeah, so we do the pre and post survey. The purpose of that is the pre-survey is to kind of get a grasp on what we're looking at, what these children are already doing online.
And this is a survey of taken of whom?
Yes, we give it to all of our students mm-hmm. that we talk to. And the survey pretty much consists of some background questions, some basic internet safety questions. And then we ask the students, you know, do you go on the internet? How mm-hmm. frequently do you go on the internet? And what we're seeing is that kids are going on the internet every day. And they're not afraid to admit that. Mm-hmm. And we're also seeing that the majority of kids are also willing to admit that they've talked to strangers online. Mm. And a large portion of those kids have admitted that there's people online that have asked them to do uncomfortable things.
Wow.
Now, what that gets really down to is after those questions where we're seeing these kids are online every day, they're talking to strangers that they don't know, you know. And it's not always the strangers that are asking them to do the things that they're uncomfortable with. Sometimes it is the peers at school, people that they know, relatives, anybody could be mm-hmm. Doing this on the other side of that screen. But the last question that we always ask is, if something were to happen to you online, would you go to your caregiver or your trusted adult? And we're seeing that over half of the kids that we survey say no.
Really?
That they would not go to their caregiver or their trusted
adult. And what do you attribute that to? Why don't they want to go to a caregiver or trusted adult with that information?
They're scared that they're going to get punished. They don't know what's on the other side of that. What if they go to their mom or their dad, or they go to their teacher and nothing happens, and instead they're told, well, you did that, you did
right,
this.
Or something bad happens, right? Not that nothing happens, but they'll actually get punished for it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. lose their phone, lose their device. Mm-hmm. Now they can't talk to their friends for a few weeks, mm-hmm. and they don't want that. Mm-hmm. They want to continue to do what they're doing online.
That's very telling information, isn't it?
It is.
To hear that. So that is in the pre-survey?
Yep.
And then what's the difference between that and the post survey?
They're the exact same survey. We're just trying to see if the kids are willing to change their answer to that last question, or if they've learned anything more from, you know, the internet safety that we're providing to them.
And what is your findings from that?
It does go up.
It does.
It does. Where more kids are answering that they might tell their caregiver, that they would tell their caregiver or a trusted adult.
Yeah. And now, Brian, let's talk about the other difficult, you know, elephant in the room, which is when you don't necessarily have a trusted caregiver at home, or maybe the abuse is coming from inside the house. How is that handled? And is that, I assume that's a much more difficult conversation to have.
Yeah. So when we do talk to the kids, we try to encourage them to find that trusted adult in their life. And for some kids, that may not be their parent.
Mm.
Because in some cases, sad to say, but you know, a majority of abuse comes from within the home.
Mm.
That's just a fact of life, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So when we have these conversations with the kids, We're conscientious of that, and we don't just blanketly say, go tell your parents, mm-hmm. because that may not be the trusted adult in their life.
Yeah.
So we ask them to consider who is a trusted adult in their life. But we also give them some warnings about trying to vet that, because that's how perpetrators work. They try to build trust with mm-hmm. you, right? They groom kids and they groom people, make them think that they're a trusted
adult. It's all part of the scam.
So they have to really be careful. It's a minefield. It can be a minefield mm-hmm. for them to figure this out. The quick fallbacks are, you know, school officials, law enforcement. Even then, that's not always the answer either for some people, right?
It would be a minefield to figure out, even with trusted mm-hmm. people by your side. If you're mm-hmm. a young person, you don't have all these tools to deal with this stuff. You don't know mm-hmm. why it's happening to you.
Right.
And you don't have, I assume, the knowledge to deal with it correctly.
Right. And so what we tell the kids, too, is that, you know, we ask them to formulate who they would go to for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But we also encourage them to just talk to their friends.
Mm.
Because if they're at least talking to their friends, at least there's some peer support, and some of their friends may be like, that doesn't sound right.
Mm.
Or you should do this. Or maybe that friend goes and tells their parent.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gets the ball rolling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kids can also report on their own, right? Most of these apps and websites have a reporting process.
Mm.
And so kids need to know about that, and they can still report things on their own that still get flagged, so that, you know, if nothing else, they can disconnect. They can stop communicating with this person that's asking them to do things or that they don't trust. But at least it's also sending out a message that there are authorities that are mm-hmm. aware that this particular source is untrustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk to parents about being trusted adults, we highlight what that is. And that's essentially, you know, supportive, empathetic, being able to know that you don't do things like immediately take away their computer,
mm.
right? Because that's going to backfire.
Yeah. And that may not come naturally to some parents also because of the way maybe that they were raised, right? With
yeah.
a strict discipline, with you did something wrong, you're going to get punished for it,
right.
whatever. And you know, there might be some times when that's appropriate, but in mm. something like this where you're not necessarily building trust there, it's working against you, I would think.
Right. And that, and like Haley said, that would be an impediment right there for some kids. They'd be like, if I tell my dad, the first thing he's going to do is take away my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's so many implications for that. I mean, this is our society now,
mm-hmm.
right? So we can't just vilify the device or the internet. We have to talk about how to use those things safely and
yeah.
what to do when things happen. And when we talk about trusted adults, when we have this conversation with adults, we say, you know, ideally you're that person, but try to remember when you were 12 years old, as much as maybe you did trust your parents,
mm-hmm.
there were certain things you just didn't want to talk to them about, right?
Yeah.
So what? So ask,
there are still
ask
things
your kids,
that adults are telling their adult parents,
yes.
you know, later in life. Oh, you didn't know I did this, but
right.
I did, you know,
right? There's yeah. adults who don't want to tell other
right.
adults things, right? So having a kid, you know, especially if something is embarrassing or something like that, so they should have other outlets, and that's a good opportunity for you to have that conversation with your child. Like, listen, I hope you can come to me. I hope that we have that relationship. But if you can't, who else would you go to? And kind of work that out with the kids so that you actually know too, as the adult, you're kind of in a sense also vetting who their choice is for mm-hmm. another adult resource.
Yeah.
And maybe even, if it's somebody that you know is in your circle, have a conversation with that adult. And say, listen, my kid identified you as a trusted adult.
Hmm.
And then kind of have a conversation about that. You know, mm-hmm. what would that look like if my kid comes to you? How would we do with that? But, you know, work with your kid to have other options. The important thing is that they don't feel cornered or boxed in.
Right, right. Haley Graham and Brian Burkle are my guests here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, also listening to us on 88.1 in Lee. And we're talking about internet safety and kids here today. And let me just throw this one out there. If a child or a teen has put a nude picture on the internet, which is sort of the basis for what we were talking about, sextortion, I mm-hmm. think that Brian used the word before. Is there anything that can be done to remove that picture?
Yes.
Haley.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely. So the big thing is you need to report it as soon as possible.
Mm.
But if your picture is out there and it's on your device, the most important thing is that kids need to know, don't delete that picture. The first instinct is,
don't delete the picture.
Don't delete the picture.
Okay. So that's intriguing.
From your device.
From your device. All right.
Yeah.
And why is that?
Report it to the app if it's on an app. Report it to the site if it's on a site.
Mm-hmm.
If it's on your device
mm-hmm.
and you took a picture of yourself, do not delete the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is actually something called take it down. And that's offered to children who have their image that is online. And what kids can actually do, they don't need to tell their parent. They don't need to tell anybody that this happened. Well, that's ideal. We do want them to tell. They don't necessarily have to. They can go right onto this website, take it down. And if you submit the original picture that was taken to this website, and they don't store this picture, it's not just a database of all these pictures the kids are submitting. What they do is they store like the file number.
Uh-huh.
And when that file number is shared on the internet moving forward, if it's sent from one person's device to another, take it down, grabs it out of the air, and they don't let that picture be sent to another person. So while that picture might be screenshotted on somebody's device, which we can't really do anything about that except hope that they'll delete it themselves.
Right.
But we can say, go to take it down, send them your picture, and they will stop it from being shared moving forward.
That's very interesting. I didn't know that that even existed. So that's great information for people. But, you know, I'm sure that the first impulse, once a kid knows that they've done something like that and they're in trouble, that they want to just erase every, you know, potential piece of evidence. Of course, we know the internet is forever. We know that things stay out there forever. But just a service like that, being able to say that that there could be some help in getting some of those taken down is
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, and when we talk about the pictures that kids may put on there, they may not be necessarily in a situation where they're being exploited or there's sextortion or anything like that. It could be that they're sharing it with somebody that they trusted. Maybe they're in a dating relationship and then, you know, it goes haywire or somebody gets the picture. Somebody breaks that trust and shares it with people who it wasn't intended to be shared with.
Yeah.
Or they did it as a gag. There's a lot of reasons kids do it, right? So, but then they regret it. That now they've lost control of it. And that's the thing is, once you send it, you really do lose control of where it lands.
Oh, yeah.
You can recoup it and pull it off the internet from further transfer, like you said.
Yeah.
But again, if it's on somebody else's device, it's on their device. You can't, short of them agreeing to release it. And if you send a picture, like, say, through Snapchat, right? So you're taking the picture. It's on your device. That's the one with the file that can be deleted. But when you send it to somebody else, if they screenshot that picture, that's a whole different file.
It's no longer the original file with the original metadata, right?
Right.
It's now a new piece of a file, a new asset.
So that one we can't pull off the internet unless that person's willing to do that for you.
Yeah.
So, but it's not an absolute magic wand, but it's helpful. It's something. So there is some hope out there.
Yep, and that is currently an issue, you know, in many circles, right up front page, if you will, dealing with pictures circulating and things. And, hey, happens to adults as well. But again, we think of adults as people that, you know, have a little bit of agency and should know better but don't sometimes, but at least they can deal with their own consequences. When it's happening to younger people, another whole set of circumstances comes into play, right? And let's talk about the sexual exploitation of children here in Berkshire County, because again, we're talking in sort of generalizations, but these are real things that are happening right here in our county right now. You're seeing it pretty much every day, every week.
Unfortunately,
right? And so people need to understand that it isn't just a conceptual thing we're talking about here, that these are real issues that are happening to us in this area.
Yeah, absolutely, and some of that, you know, that some of that recruiting, when we talk about sexual exploitation again, you know, one avenue there is forced prostitution, something to that effect, right?
And the term sex trafficking comes up as well, right?
Correct.
So and again, we think of that as a larger issue. We sort of talked about this off air, where we think of it as this large syndicate, organized crime type of a thing, trafficking state to state or whatever. It doesn't have to be just that either, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, no. In fact, that's not even that's the Hollywood one.
Yeah.
Yes, that happens, but that's the narrative that goes over more easily with audiences in Hollywood, right? Sad to say, a lot of trafficking is done familial, people that they know. Some people are in their family. Some people are in their homes. Parents can traffic their own kids. It happens.
Yeah. And sometimes the motivations for that are?
It could be drugs. Mm. It could be financial. Mm-hmm. It could be they could have psychological issues. They could be doing it in exchange for sexual favors with another child. People network.
Yeah,
that's, you know,
dark.
Yes, it's very dark. And so we work to be aware of that. And I, like I said, there's a lot of information about it online. that if you suspect that somebody might be doing that or be a victim of that, look up some of the signs. And if you think you've got something there, we always promote the see something, say something, mm-hmm. and report it. Report it to the police, report it to DCF. Mm-hmm. You can do it to DCF anonymously with a 51A mm-hmm. report. So let the authorities vet it further and see if there's something there, but better to say something than nothing.
When these issues come into your offices, have you had experiences where something comes in and seems fairly innocent or surface level, and then you start to sort of peel back the onion a little bit and you find out that there's something much worse going on behind the scenes? Have you had that without obviously giving away any mm-hmm. specific details? Does that happen?
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes something seems surface level and then you get into it and it's more than you think it is, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially with children, sex trafficking can come in a variety of forms. It could be housing. Maybe they don't want to live at home with their parents anymore and they want to get out and they need a place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't have a phone at home. They need a phone. And who's going to give them that phone if their parents won't let them have it?
Mm-hmm.
So you really got to look at all these different layers of this and what's really going on and how is this child, you know, not benefiting from it, but what are they getting out of this situation mm-hmm. and scenario? And it can be a lot more than what you see at first.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's simple and then.
Yeah, and it's not always in exchange for money. You know, it could be for a roof over your house.
Mm.
It could be for food.
The most basic things.
It mm-hmm. could be the very mm-hmm. basic things. Mm-hmm. It could be just sometimes for other favors,
yeah.
you know.
Just a ride somewhere. You mm-hmm. need a ride somewhere. Yeah, and how are you getting that ride?
Right. It's about an exchange, essentially.
And I think it's easy for listeners to hear what we've been saying today. And we're, you know, we've got a few minutes left here in the show. And we think, well, it's because of the way the world is moving now. It's going too fast. There's new technology. It's all very scary. But I'm also hearing some themes in here of things that have happened probably for years and for mm-hmm. decades and for generations before us. It's just it's taken a new form now because of things like the internet and technology.
Mm-hmm.
But these things have been going on, and maybe in past generations they were just covered over, right? People knew they were going on, but they didn't say anything about it. And mm-hmm. and those have been uncovered, you know, mm-hmm. in the past years. And they tend to be these huge scandalous things where you look back and you say, how was that going on that nobody knew? Well, did nobody know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, for sure. This is nothing new.
Yeah.
It's just some
same trends, same patterns.
Yeah, just different ways that it's happening in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
The thing, though, too, is that there are some resources out there. So there are some good websites to go to for parents that we want to just kind of throw out there. We will get more into it when we do our presentations.
Yeah.
Let's
get some of that out there right now at the end of the show.
So there's a couple organizations that you can look up called there's Thorn. You can look up the Thorn mm-hmm. Project. Common Sense Media. You can go to NetSmarts. And so just so you know, NetSmarts is the program that we're using when we go into the schools.
Okay.
And we also build off of that for our parent presentation. So anybody can access NetSmarts.
Mm.
You can go on there yourself, and you can look up. There's so many great resources there on how to talk to your kids. You can see the program that we would actually present to your kids.
Mm.
So there's no secrets there. There's no surprises. And it's a great resource. We vetted a bunch of things, and we felt from the information that we wanted to get across that NetSmarts was the place to go. But I'll tell you like about Common Sense Media. That's another one that you can look up online. You can even get a subscription with them.
Hmm.
I used to use it for movies, right? You could look up a movie
okay.
and kind of punch in, like, you know, because especially if I was going to watch a movie with my kids, I'm like, what am I getting into?
You don't want that uncomfortable moment, right?
Am I going to be embarrassed when there's some long scene or something that's uncomfortable for me to sit with? So you can literally, like, for the movies, you can look up and see. They'll tell you exactly how they rate the sex, the violence, mm-hmm. the drug abuse,
mm-hmm.
and they'll even give you examples of exactly what it is if you want spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, beyond that, they do a similar thing when it comes to website apps,
mm-hmm.
games, right? You can go on there and they can tell you all the ins and outs, like here's the buttons, here's the safety switches you can activate, here's how the game works.
Mm.
And
interesting.
You know,
gaming is another whole world. We could probably do a whole show just on that, right?
And there's a lot of predators in the gaming world.
Yeah.
That's a sad thing.
Yeah.
You know, Roblox
and that's
all that.
An area where a lot of parents aren't comfortable being in and don't see that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Great. I mean, again, not vilifying any games,
nope.
not vilifying any apps or the internet, But there are bad people in there with your kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about having those conversations with your kids, letting them know in advance what to look for. There's some great advice on NetSmarts and Thorne and Common Sense Media.
All good resources to
great
have.
Great resources. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, you know, if you want us to do a presentation, you reach out to the Kids Place or Stacy Parsons over at the district attorney's office. Mm-hmm. She's helping us right now to coordinate with a lot of the schools.
That's great. So again, give that Kids Place phone number and website. I have the website right here, so I'll read that. KidsPlaceOnline.org. That's a really good place to go. And Haley, the phone number?
Yep, the phone number is 413-499-2800. You can give us a call anytime.
Great information today, both of you, Haley Graham and Brian Burkle. Thank you so much for being here. Berkshire County Kids Place, good work. As always, we'll have you back and we'll talk about it some more.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. This is Morning Drive. We'll see you next week and have a great weekend. Bundle up. Take care, everybody.